Are you holding back in life? Are you holding back in your Christian duties? Are you holding back with responsibilities to your loved ones? Are you giving Christ your very best? If you'd like, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14. I want to talk to you this morning about breaking the alabaster vial. When the Emancipation Proclamation came to the President's desk, January 1st, 1863, twice the President picked up his pen to sign the document, and twice he set his pen back down. He turned to his Secretary of State at the time, and he says, "I've been shaking hands since 9 o'clock this morning, and my right arm is numb. If I ever go down into history, it's going to be for signing this act. And I want everyone to know that my heart and soul is in it. If my hand trembles when I sign my name, everyone will say of me, 'He hesitated when he signed the document.'" He then calmed himself, picked up his pen, and firmly pressed down on the paper and signed his name, Abraham Lincoln. President Lincoln knew that he was about to make history. He knew that he would forever be remembered for signing this act. And he wanted the whole world to know that he believed in what he was about to do. And he didn't want anyone to think that he hesitated when he did it. Now, there are several things in life that cause us to hesitate. You know, we have our obstacles in life. We have fear that causes us to hesitate. Just several things over and over again that just cause us to hesitate. Criticism causes us to hesitate. This causes us to hold back in life. Many things that just rob us of the moments that matter. By holding back, we allow great opportunities to slip away from us, and they can cause us a great deal of regret later down on the road. But in Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9, we read of a woman who did not hesitate, and because she didn't hesitate, Jesus said she would forever be remembered. She would forever go down into history. One of the things that those in advertising and marketing really believe in is repetition. The more they can get their product in front of you, the more you're going to associate their product with being credible. The more their brand comes before your face, whether it be in billboards or on the internet or in magazines, the more you're going to assume expertise and relate expertise to their product. When the time comes for you to have a need or want for whatever it is they're selling, it's going to be their product, the product that you've seen the most, that pops into your mind. I wonder if that's not what the Holy Spirit might have had in mind here with this account of this woman and the alabaster vial. The Bible tells us that there were many things that Jesus did that couldn't even be recorded. In fact, John would say that if he tried to write everything that Jesus did down on paper, that there wouldn't be enough books in the world to contain it. And so you have to think the things that we do have in the gospel accounts must be of great importance. God saw that it was very important for us to specifically know the accounts that we do have of Christ while He was here on earth. But of those accounts, only a few are recorded more than once. Only a few are recorded twice. These accounts must be of great importance. But of those accounts that are recorded multiple times, even less are recorded three times. You know, these things must be extremely important. They're recorded three times for us. If God saw it fit to have it down one time, that should be good enough for us. But if it's written down three times for us, it really ought to catch our eye. And such is the case with this story, this account of the woman who breaks the alabaster vial of the alabaster box and anoints Christ's head. We can find the event in Matthew, Mark, and John. In fact, it's John who tells us who the lady is. It's Mary. John tells us it's Mary, the sister of Martha, the sister of Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead. And in this passage, Christ says something about Mary that, to my knowledge, I don't think He said of anyone else. Look at verse 9 there. He says, "And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, that also which this woman has done shall be spoken of her in memory." To my knowledge, Christ never said this again about anyone. Could you imagine if Jesus said this about you? It is truly a life-defining moment for this woman, for Mary. And Mary did something so important, Jesus said she would forever be remembered. She would forever go down in history. But notice Mary didn't hesitate. She didn't hold back. She seized the moment. And she gave her very best to Christ. And I think there is a lot that we can learn from the details of this account, of this story. Real quick, I want to just tell you what an alabaster vial is. Your version might say a box or a flask. It's basically just a bottle with a long neck. And it would have been made from a finely carved or shaved stone. And it would have been able to hold about a pint of liquid. And within this vial, within this box specifically, the Bible says it's a spikenard, or some of your versions might just say nard, referring to a very rare plant that is found in East India at the time and was imported into Jerusalem and extracted from this spikenard, spike being the head, nard being the plant, the head of the plant, was this perfume or this ointment, this sweet-smelling aroma. The Bible says in verse 3 that it was very costly. Verse 5 says it would have been sold for about 300 denarii. Now, a denarius was worth about a day's wage. It would have been something that somebody would have earned, the middle-class citizen would have earned in about a day's wage at the time. Which means that this woman worked 300 days. She worked almost an entire year to buy this bottle of perfume. But if you think about it more, you start to gain even more appreciation for this woman. Because under the Jewish law, they were not allowed to work on the Sabbath day. There's 52 weeks in a year, 365 days in a year. That means there's 52 Sabbath days that you could subtract from that 365 days, which means this woman worked almost every possible day in a year that she could possibly work to buy this perfume, to break it, and to anoint Christ's head with it. I think it's safe to say that Mary held nothing back when it came to giving to Christ. And so I ask you this morning, are you holding back in life? Are you holding back in your Christian duties? Are you holding back with responsibilities to your loved ones? Are you giving Christ your very best? The Bible says Mary broke the vial and she anointed Christ's head with the ointment. And because she did this, Christ said she would forever be remembered. What will Christ remember you for? What will your loved ones remember you for? You know, if you want your loved ones to remember you in a good way, most importantly, if you want Christ to remember you in a good way, then we all need to learn, just as Mary did, how to break our alabaster vial. And so this morning, I want to give you three areas in our life in which I think we can learn to break our alabaster vial. And the first area is this. We need to be breaking our alabaster vial when it comes to our relationships. If you look back at verse 7, Jesus says, "For the poor you will always have with you, and whenever you wish, you can do them good, but you do not always have me with you." The Bible says when Mary did this, when she broke this vial, there were some there in the room that started to complain. They rebuked her. They thought that she could have sold the perfume and made a great deal of money. They thought she could have given that money to the poor. But Christ rebukes them for their criticism. You know, anointing Christ's head would have been a sign of great honor. It would have been a token of highest respect for Christ. In a way, when Mary did this, she is saying to Christ that she appreciated Him, that she was thankful for Jesus. And she does this. She shows this thankfulness to Christ, and she demonstrates this to Christ, because she knows that she only has a short amount of time to do it. There's coming a time when the opportunity is no longer going to be there. She's no longer going to have the chance to thank Jesus. Jesus said, "The poor you will always have with you, but I'm only going to be here with you for just a little bit." The same is true with the relationships in our lives and the people that we love here on this earth. We only have so many opportunities to break our alabaster vial and to tell people how much we appreciate the people that mean the most to us, our family members, our loved ones, our friends, to show our appreciation for them, to say, "I love you. You know, I appreciate you. I am thankful for what you do for me and what you continue to do for me. I want you to know how much you mean to me. I want you to know that I've always looked up to you. I want you to know that you're my source. You're my strength." We need to be making these things a daily habit, practicing these things, saying these things to our loved ones. We need to be doing this because just as Mary knew about Jesus, we know that there is coming a time when we will no longer have the opportunity to show our appreciation for our loved ones and for our friends. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. I again saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the warriors, and neither is bread to the wise, nor wealth to the discerning, nor favor to men of ability, for time and chance overtake them all. James will tell us that our life is just a vapor. It appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And so we really do not know how many more chances, how many more opportunities we have to open up to our loved ones and just to let them know what's on our mind and let them know how we feel towards them. We need to be breaking our alabaster vow when it comes to our relationships and our homes and our families. Let me give you a few verses. Proverbs 11, verse 29. He who troubles his own house will inherit wind, and the foolish will be servant to the wise-hearted. Exodus 20:12, we know this one. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Ephesians 5, verse 33. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Let me read a few verses to you out of Proverbs chapter 31. 31 beginning in verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Skipping to verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. And then verses 27 through 29, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. And so here's this idea of just praising and as the proverb says, blessing those in your family members, specifically here in Proverbs 31, the wife, the mother, letting her know her worth and how much she appreciates. But this is something that needs to be practiced with everybody within your home. You know, husbands, how often do you tell your wives that you love them, that you appreciate them? Wives, in return, how often do you tell your husbands how much you respect them, how much they mean to you, how much they are your strength and the source of their strength? Children, with relation to your parents, how often do you tell your parents how much you are thankful for them providing for you? And if you're already grown up and you live outside the house, how often do you tell your parents how thankful you are for them raising you in a faithful Christian home? How much you appreciate the advice they gave you, the advice that you needed to hear rather than the advice that you wanted to hear. And then siblings, brothers and sisters, how often do you tell each other how much you love them, how much you appreciate them, you appreciate the help they give you, always being there for you, to pick you up and to encourage you. We also need to be breaking our alabaster vow when it comes to relationships within the church. Paul certainly wasn't afraid to give encouraging messages to his brethren, to lift his brethren up. You read letters like Romans, the end of Romans, the end of Philippians. Christ was very encouraging to his brethren. He praised some of the brethren that did good. He called them out by name and he noticed them. This is something that we need to be practicing within the church here at Duluth. You know, maybe there's someone here that you've always looked up to. Maybe there's a Sunday school teacher here that taught you when you were younger, and they're partially responsible for you growing up and being the Christian that you are today. Or elders or deacons. Think about some of our women who prepare food when there's funerals and things like that. All the stuff that's done behind the scenes that we just kind of take for granted. You know, showing up and the doors being unlocked, the lights being on, the sound system being turned on, the air conditioner, or the heat, I guess, in the wintertime, the heat being here, comfortable temperature. All these things that we just take for granted. Why not find some of these people? Tell them how much you appreciate the work that they put in. Why not write them a letter, make a phone call, go visit them, get to know them, stick around a little bit longer after services and talk to them. You know, it's going to be encouraging to that brother or sister. It's going to help them feel better about themselves. Not only is it going to help them feel better about themselves, it's going to motivate them. It's going to cause them to want to even strive to do more and to do better and to grow. Some of us, we're going to carry around our alabaster vial for our entire life, and we're never going to break it. For whatever reason, maybe we're scared. You know, maybe we just don't know how to express our feelings. Maybe we just assume that the other person knows. For whatever reason, we struggle with saying it. But could you imagine how much better this world would be if we would just learn how to break our alabaster vial? You know, how much more joy and happiness would be in the home? How much more pleasant would your workplace be if you practiced this here, there at your workplace? How much closer we would grow as a congregation, as a spiritual family, the bonds and the friendship that would be formed if we practice this within the church. Not only are you going to make others feel better, not only are you going to encourage others, but you're also going to cause yourself to feel better. It's going to be a constant reminder to you if you're doing this on a daily basis, if you're doing this every chance that you get, you know, your everyday actions will reflect how you feel. And your actions towards others will also reflect your words towards them. And the second area in our life is this. We need to break the alabaster vial in giving our lives to Christ. Fritz Kreisler was an Austrian-born violinist. He is said to be one of the greatest violinists of his time. In fact, some say he might be even the greatest violinist in all history. It is said that those who heard him play would say he was more than just music. It was an experience. And he was truly blessed with a talent. And one evening, after one of the best performances of his life, this lady came running up to him. He was putting away his instrument. This lady came running up to him, just so impressed and amazed by his performance. And she's just paying him compliment after compliment. And she said, Mr. Kreisler, I would give my entire life play the violin like you played it tonight. To which he replied, I did. Now, those present at the table with Mary and those present at the table with Christ, they wouldn't have been surprised if Mary would have taken out her violin and maybe just poured a drop or two on Christ's head. That wouldn't have surprised them. The Bible says she shattered the vial. She shattered the box, emptying out its entire contents. There was no holding back. She was not hesitating. John's account even tells us not only did she anoint his head, she also anointed his feet and then took her hair and massaged it into his feet, starting at the head and the feet, fully encapsulating Christ's body. Do we give Christ the precious ointments of our best affection? You know, the greatest commandment found in Matthew 22 and other places is to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. The heart being the motion that motivates us. You know, we're motivated to love God because He first loved us. He demonstrated that love for us by dying on the cross when we were still enemies to that cross. You know, we are to love Him with all of our soul, our very being, our very existence. It's our purpose for being here on earth. And to love Him with all of our mind, with our thoughts and the decisions that we make and what we subject ourselves to. We are to love Him with all of our strength. That means we are to exhaust our efforts. We are to leave nothing here. We are to give it all so that when we make it to heaven, we have something to rest from. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul would say this in verses 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. What Paul's talking about here is looking into a mirror and seeing the image of Christ. You're looking into the mirror and your face is reflecting back, but you're seeing some of the attributes of Christ within that reflection. You're following the examples that Christ left behind us for us to follow. You know, are we allowing ourselves to be transformed into the image of Christ, just as Paul says here? Are we truly allowing Christ to take over our lives? Have we truly given our lives to Him? You know, I'm not talking about some kind of miraculous intervention where the Holy Spirit mechanically seizes control of your body and causes you to act in a certain way. What I am talking about is doing what it takes to make sure that our attitudes resemble those of Christ's attitudes. You know, studying His Word, meditating His Word so that it's in our mind, so that His mind becomes part of our mind. And that will cause us to make choices that are in line with the same kind of choices that Christ made. And that's how we allow Christ to dwell in us. It takes effort on our part. You know, I look at us as all being construction projects, each and every one of us. And I truly believe that Christ is every day chipping away at our lives, wanting us to be more and more like Him, just like a building under construction. You know, you drive by maybe a house or a building on a week-to-week basis, and you see the foundation being laid, and then you drive back maybe several weeks later, and the beams are up, and then several maybe months later, now the brick or it's been painted and it's fully completed. And so we should live our day, each day, working on giving ourselves to Christ, one piece at a time. The more and more we allow Christ's Spirit to dwell in us, the more and more we're going to realize areas in our lives that we haven't yet given to Him. Now, verse 8, Jesus would say that Mary did what she could. Are you doing what you can to become more and more like Christ? And then the third and final point this morning, we need to be breaking our alabaster vial in the face of criticism. You know, certainly when Mary broke the vial here in this account and anointed Christ, Matthew and Mark's account tells us that she received a lot of criticism for doing this. They accused her of wasting the perfume, said she could have sold it and made some money, said she could have sold it and taken that money and given it to the poor. John's account actually puts a face on that criticism. John chapter 12, verses 4 and 5 says, "But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was intending to betray him, said, 'Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people?'" And certainly we know Judas as being one who was always concerned about money, always thinking about money. And Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This teaches us something, though. It teaches us that whenever we attempt to get involved in the work of God, we are going to face some form of ridicule. You know, don't let others discourage you from doing a good work, from doing God's work. Satan is always going to send some kind of form of discouragement your way. Proverbs 11:11, "By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is torn down." Critics can even cause us to doubt something that we've already done, like they're trying to cause Mary to doubt here in this instance. But Mary, she didn't let her criticism, she didn't let her critics get to her. She didn't allow them to cause her any doubt. Mary could have kept the vial of perfume. She could have maybe anointed one of her family members one day with it. Or she could have sold it and made some money. However, she didn't do that. The Bible says she broke the vial. She gave it all to Christ. She didn't hesitate. She didn't hold back. And because she didn't hold back, Jesus said that she would forever be remembered. Don't let discouragement keep you from the great moments in life. Don't allow hesitation to rob you of the opportunities God gives you in life. Seize those opportunities in life. Seize the moments that matter the most. Give Christ your best. Give Christ everything you have. Once again, Mary didn't hold back. She gave her all, and I think there are several things that we can learn from that. We need to be giving our all when it comes to our families. We need to be breaking our alabaster vial when it comes to our relationships, to our church family, to our own home and family. We need to be breaking our alabaster vial when it comes to giving our lives to Christ. And we need to be breaking our alabaster vial in the face of criticism. Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't even begun to give your life to Christ. You're not a Christian. Maybe you're subject to this invitation. And I want to tell you this morning that Jesus will have you right now, and it would be the most important decision that you will ever make. That Jesus loves you, we love you, we want what's best for you, and we want to see you in heaven. And Jesus will have you this morning if you'll come to Him, willing to believe, willing to confess His name, repent, that is to change your mind, renew your mind, be immersed in water, baptized, have your sins washed away, raised to walk in newness of life. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you've made that commitment. Maybe you've fallen away. Maybe you've failed to give Christ your very best. Why not recommit this morning?